I love this church. You you guys humor me. You put up with me. But let me just say this. Man, you belong in somebody's opera house. What a beautiful rendition. That scripture that we talked about, I want to use for a topic today. An attitude of gratitude. And gratitude has to be an attitude. It's good to give thanks. Not just in some things, but what did the scripture say? In all things, give thanks. Just want to say a couple of words here. First of all, I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the one who rose from the dead, the one who said he's coming back again, the one who walked on water, the one who made lame men walk and dead men get up and live again. He's coming back, church. Let's keep that first and foremost in our mind. As our friend, my friend, Pastor Kathy, moves on to another level, I don't know what she's going to do, but I think while she's sitting on a beach in Hawaii, sipping a Diet Coke, her legacy is going to remain here in this church. And because she's laid a foundation for the next person to follow. That person's going to have some big shoes to fill. Now, don't go back and tell Pastor Kathy I said she had big feet. But she is just a wonderful person. And I just love her. She's my friend. What I like most about her is her love for all people. She has a love, and she has a heart for the people. And she has a heart for people of all color. It doesn't matter to her, of all ages. She has a love for the community that she lives in. And she has a concern for the poor. And one of the things I like the most, she's got a wonderful sense of humor. I mean, you throw it at her, she finds a way to give it right back to you. But you all are the foundation of the church. You all have an institutional knowledge. And I don't mean this word to be negative, because when I say us old folks, and I don't mean age, but people who've been around a long time in the church, they have an institutional knowledge that will be beneficial to keep the foundation of this church intact. The doctrine that you uphold is very important, and that needs to be passed on. I've seen some crazy things happen in churches when they get a new pastor. You walk in, you don't recognize it. And then another thing happens is that people tend to jump ship. They go from church to church. My wife and I, Pamela, over here, we go to churches and we see a person in that church. 2 months later, we see the same person who's a member who joined another church. And we said, did she used to belong over here? Let me tell you a story about a man who was shipwrecked on this island. Out there, 5, 6, all by himself, okay? And ships would pass by, these big ocean liners, and he's trying to get their attention and putting up smoke signals and everything. And they just put this one on for years. And finally, he was spotted. Two people got into a little boat, came up to the island. And he said, man, am I glad to see you guys. I've been out here a long time. They noticed 3 buildings. And they said, what is this building here? He said, this is the house I live in. What about this building? That's the church I go to. What's the 3rd building? That's the church I used to go to. We cannot let the foundation of the church succumb to and be reversed by a lot of modern issues in areas. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to embrace new stuff, but we can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. I say that because I look back and I see what got us from point A to point B. We should never, ever replace that. We could build on it. I noticed that you were singing from the hymn book. Hymn books are becoming obsolete in some churches today. A lot of churches have piped-in music. There's nothing like Jesus, Keep Me Near the Cross. And the song I was so anxious to get to, I Need Thee Every Hour. I remember that song. My mother, when we had hard times when I was growing up, my mother would go into this room and close the door. And I get a little choked up when I repeat this. And she would sing that song. And she would sing, I Need Thee Every Hour. And it was troubled times. And it was songs like that that got us over the troubled waters. I'm not opposed to today's gospel music, but we should not forget, pass me not, O gentle Savior, I'll fly away. There's stories behind each one of those songs that each one of us can relate to, and it takes us back to a time when that song, see, there were messages in those songs back then. It took us back to how we got through the troubled times. So I'm just so glad that you're holding on to some of those hymns, and we need to hold on to our hymn books. So, an attitude of gratitude. It develops an appreciation. It develops an appreciation of what we love, we appreciate. And what we appreciate, we also love. And we should show appreciation and give thanks. And this should be continuous and not just a one-shot deal, not when we just feel like it, or not just when people do something good for us. Anybody ever been, well, I know you all have a lot of money, so you shop a lot. Go in and you make a purchase. They don't say anything. Throw the receipt at you. I was in a store and I paid for my purchase, and I just stood there and looked at the guy. And he looked at me like I was crazy. I was waiting for a thank you, because it's me, people like me, that keeps him in a job where he can take care of his family and please his boss, and he can't even say thank you. You think I want to go back in that store? We don't have an attitude of gratitude. And the scriptures say we should always have that attitude. So my topic today is a reminder for some, new information for others, correction on behavior for a few. And I pose a question to you, church, today. What are you most thankful for? Chew on that for a moment. What are you the most thankful for today? Some people will say, I'm thankful for my family, my job, my mom, my dad, my church family. Thankful for my health. You know, we could go down the list and we all have a lot that we could be thankful for. And when you balance the scales, we have more to be thankful for than we have to be complaining about. Let me expand on that thought for a moment. There are some other things that we should be thankful for. The close call you had on the freeway. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you came that close to not being here. Over 20 years ago, I was driving from Stockton, California to Sacramento. And I'm tooling along by 75 miles an hour, and I fell asleep at the wheel. I mean, I nodded off. Had I veered to the left, I wouldn't be talking to you today, and probably a few other people would be around today. But I veered to the right, and there was some gravel on the road, and there were some sunflowers growing. The only patch in the highway where sunflowers were growing. And they hit up against my fender and woke me up, and dust flying everywhere. And I got out of the car, and my knees were shaking. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Lady pulled up behind me. She said, I saw your head dip. I thought you had a heart attack. I said, no, ma'am, I'm just, because she went down, turned around some kind of way. So I still remember that, and I'm grateful for that. I thank God for that, that we could have this conversation today. So, an attitude of gratitude. Some people would call that luck. No, luck has nothing to do with it. Luck, I call it divine intervention. I don't know what other people call it. They'll say, oh man, was I lucky? No, you were not lucky. God had his hand on your shoulder. Divine intervention has everything to do with it. When you are facing some of the most difficult moments in your life, your stomach is churning, tears rolling down your cheek, you're questioning yourself, asking yourself, who do I turn to? Who do I talk to? And in your darkest moments, you hear this voice say to you, my child, everything's going to be all right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody face that situation? What Lady Luck that whispered in your ear? And I'm going to tell you who it was. You probably guessed it already. It was Jesus. He comes to us in our darkest moment. He lets us know everything's going to be all right. In the book of Psalms, it says sorrow lasts for a night, but joy comes in the morning. And for all of those things, we should say thank you. Thank you for picking me up when I was down. Thank you for protecting me when I was surrounded by my enemies. Thank you for helping me when I was going through a storm. It seems like sometimes you go through one storm, and here comes another one, and here's another one. Anybody ever had back-to-back storms? It looks like everything is crashing down on you. Sometimes you think, I don't even have a friend. Let me correct you. You do have a friend. That's why I love that song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let me ask you another question. Did you have a little talk with Jesus this morning? Did you talk to him before you had breakfast? Did you talk to him on your way to church? Did you talk to him last night? We sing that song, Have a Little Talk with Jesus. Well, when you get my age, you talk to him a lot. People say to me, man, it's good to see you. And I say, well, it's better to be seen than viewed. Y'all get that on your way home. But Jesus said, lo, I am with you even to the end of the world. When should we give thanks? The Bible says at all times, give thanks. That praise should be continually in our mouth. So that tells us we don't have to wait to Thanksgiving Day to give thanks. Easter, Christmas, observing a federal holiday. No, no, no. We don't have to wait for a signal or somebody to say, okay, we got to give thanks. Like I'm looking at this guy in his face and he won't even say thank you. Always give thanks. You know, young people growing up, they don't realize the sacrifices that parents go through until they become parents. You know, I'm going to tell y'all a little story about my kids. Between us, we got six kids. There was a time that I told them, I said, I'm going to load all you guys up, put you in the car, take you back to the hospital and tell them to take you back. I don't want you. Sometimes we feel like that, but we're not going to do that. But they don't realize, and I didn't realize when I was in school, the sacrifices that my parents had to make in order for me to have whatever I had. it was a tremendous sacrifice, and parents are sacrificing today. You think kids will say, thank you, Mom, thank you, Dad. What are you going to do for me next? But we got to teach our kids to say, thank you, thank you. Don't wait for a federal holiday to give thanks unto the Lord. You know, we live in a thankless society. This is a thankless generation. And people, when they get all that they can get from you, they move on. They don't say thanks. Not only do we live in a thankless generation, we live in a complaining generation. People focus on the negatives, things that they don't have, rather than thank God for the things they do have, that He has blessed them with. Scripture tells us, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the situations, regardless of the conditions, no matter up or down, whatever happens, give thanks unto the Lord. Why? Because it's the will of God. You know, I came along at a time when I attended a segregated school. The community was segregated. Black people lived in one area of town. We lived in the other area of town. There was a time when, you know, today we go to, what is it, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Church's Chicken. Now they open up a new one over here, Raising Cane or something like that. Our chicken dinners were in the backyard. You'll get that on your way home, too. If you're going to have a chicken dinner, you better go out there and catch that bad boy. Because if he get away from it, you don't eat. That was our chicken dinner. We didn't have a T-bone steak or a ribeye steak. But I tell you what we had, we were grateful for. That fried bologna, fried potatoes, and burr rabbit syrup and a biscuit was a delicacy. And we thank God for that. Didn't complain about what we didn't have. We wore shoes. The soles were so thin you could step on a quarter and you could tell if it was heads or tails. Parents made dresses from flour sacks because the flour sacks came with designs on them. I know some of us more mature people know what I'm talking about. And they would take these flour sacks and they would make dresses for the girls. That's how we grew up. But we didn't complain. There was a time when all we had to eat was a wish sandwich. I didn't say fish, I said wish. That's two pieces of bread and wish you had some meat to go in between. But we were thankful for what we had. Because we sing this song, when praises go up, blessings come down. And the point I want to make before I take my seat is that after the thanks comes the praises. You say, well, I had this situation, I prayed to God, and I thanked Him, and nothing happened. Praise Him and see what happened. So I say to you, we should have an attitude of gratitude, and instead of complaining, thank God. Instead of complaining about having to pay taxes, thank God you have a job that gives you an income that you can pay taxes on. You just get the point? Don't complain. Pay your taxes. Grudgingly, but pay your taxes. Thank Him for the job. And at my age, thank Him for the Social Security. That's a good thing, right? So when we have this attitude of gratitude, we learn to thank and appreciate our pastors. Pastors labor long and hard in the vineyard. And you see us on Sunday morning all dressed up, stripped up, ready to go. But from Monday to the next Sunday, you don't know what pastors go through. And when people start complaining about pastors, look at what they went through throughout the week. You know, I've heard from time to time some people say, you know, I hate to get up in the morning. next time you pray, God, please keep me bedridden. Keep me in bed, and I can't get up. See, we don't thank God enough. We don't appreciate what he has done for us. You know, that sure beats the alternative. But thank him that he allows us to see another day, that he allows us to get up under our own power, able to see with glasses, without glasses. Maybe your eyesight's getting dim. Maybe you're blind in one eye, but you can see out of the other. At least you're not bumping in the walls. Thank God for what he has given you. You might need bifocals, but thank God that you can see. Thank God that you can walk. Might need a cane, might need a walker, might walk with a limp. Maybe your back hurt, like mine's hurting now when I stand up. But thank God I'm able to stand. And thank God I can walk from point A to point B. Maybe you only have a 2-bedroom house, and your neighbor has a 3-4-bedroom house. Don't complain about what your neighbor has. Thank God for what he has given you. Stay on your knees and pray, and pretty soon you might be moving into a 3-bedroom house. Don't worry about what other people have. Let me tell you this. You complain about a 2-bedroom house. As I speak, there's some people sleeping under a bridge. Thank God it's not you. And you know, we're about 2 paychecks away, those of us who are working. We're 2 paychecks away from sleeping under a bridge. 2 paychecks away of needing some kind of help. And if you've been sick and the Lord got you out of your sick bed, thank him every minute of the day. Sometimes, and I've heard in my years of experience, people say, tell me stories. The doctor gave me only so much time to live. Just make him comfortable. Friends come by and they read scriptures. Enemies are saying, oh man, we got rid of him, let him go. But Jesus told the man who was sitting on the pallet, get up and walk. Don't worry what they say. I had a pastor, he was elderly at the time. He had a heart attack and he had a stroke. The doctor gave him a short period of time later. And he said, doctor, are you sure? He said, I'm absolutely sure. He said he got on his knees and he prayed, and he said 17 years later he preached that doctor's eulogy. See, there's no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. So if you're laying in that hospital bed and they give you that sentence, no, give me my clothes, I'm out of here, because I know somebody. Just give thanks unto the Lord. So I say to you today, after the thanks come the praises. You say, well, if my back is killing me, how am I going to praise the Lord? Because if I'm going through a storm right now, all I have to do is remember how he got me through that last storm, and I know he'll get me through this storm. So, that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Give thanks unto the Lord at all times. And I say to this musician, man, you have a gift. Thank God for that gift that he's given you. I wanted to play the piano. My mother paid this teacher to teach me how to play the piano. And I'd leave home, but when she was instructed me, she would hit me on my knuckles. And she was mean. She never appreciated. She was not a teacher. She was a dictator. I mean, she was mean. So I stopped going. And my mother went by to pay her, and she said, you don't owe me anything. Because he stopped coming. I regret that to this day. He asked me, what Brother John asked me if I was going to sing the next song. And I said, if I start singing, all these folks going to get up and start running out of the church. I got put out of my own choir at Emmanuel. But I've learned, not really, I've learned to stay in the lane that God has assigned me to. And if I try to get out of my lane, that's not in God's will. So whatever you do, stay in your lane, praise God, give thanks, and remember, sorrow lasts for a night, joy comes in the morning. God bless you, and may God keep you.